Alright, time is 7:47 and joining me on the line, Rolene Marks from Israel. Rolene, a very, very good morning to you.
Good morning, Howard. How are we doing there in studio?
Excellent. Thank you very, very much. It's been quite a busy week in Israel. Lots and lots of stories, lots of big stories happening. But, of course, the one that we haven't yet to discuss, because it was yesterday afternoon going into yesterday evening, was the Jerusalem Gay Pride Parade. Of course, very, very sensitive to people, because Jerusalem, being traditionally a holy city, one where you have the strongest gathering of Orthodox and ultra-Orthodox Jews. What happened yesterday?
Well, it was quite extraordinary in the biggest pride to take place in Jerusalem over the last couple of years. An estimated 35,000 people took to the capital street for what is now the 17th annual Jerusalem March for Pride and Tolerance. I mean, we remember a couple of years ago, this event was marked by tragedy when a young marcher was killed by an ultra-religious radical who opened fire on several marchers. Or I think he stabbed several marchers, and she was tragically killed. But this year, 35,000, and there's actually a picture doing the rounds on social media, very, very moving, of a ultra-Orthodox man standing at the point where she was killed, showing his solidarity for the LGBTQ community. But many coming out last night to march. And I have to tell you, Howard, not just members from the LGBTQ community, but people from all walks of life coming out to show solidarity with the rights of our fellow citizens to have equality, to march in peace, marches chanting slogans like "there are lesbians and gays in the Mea Shearim as well," "I want to get married," "I'm born this way," and many protesting Prime Minister Netanyahu's reversal on allowing gay men to use surrogates to have babies. And of course, many marching with "love your neighbor as you love yourself." So this took place under very, very tight security, as you can well imagine. And relatively peaceful, apart from a few protesters, but quite a landmark moment for Jerusalem. Three out of the seven mayoral candidates marched to show their solidarity, but of course, Jerusalem being Jerusalem, it wasn't untouched by controversy, and a number of Rabbonim, well, at least 200 of them, saying that this is heresy and that this is, you know, absolutely unacceptable.
So, Rolene, you know my view on it, and I think you know, I certainly support the freedom of people to do and live a lifestyle that they choose, and certainly I don't have an issue with it. My only question with it is a gay pride parade or a pride parade through Jerusalem, is it intentionally provocative, or is it necessary in order to establish some form of normality for the gay community?
Ooh, that is such a fabulous question. Well, I think that, you know, fortunately, because it's in Jerusalem, it's a little bit of both. Because Jerusalem is such an intense city as far as religion is concerned, and it's not just members of the Jewish community, ultra-Orthodox, but from other communities that take exception to having gay pride in Jerusalem. However, we can't forget that Jerusalem is also the capital of Israel, and that our capital or our governmental institutions sit in Jerusalem. And this year especially, it was an opportune moment to protest the surrogacy law, which many in Israel are taking exception to. We chatted recently, you and I, about the fact that Israelis came out in their droves last week to protest many companies giving their staff permission to go on strike to stand in solidarity with our fellow citizens. citizens. Tel Aviv traditionally is a city where a huge pride takes place, and there are a lot of activities there, but Jerusalem being the capital, many feeling it's absolutely important at this time to say, you know, we stand for equality. Whether you're gay or straight, all citizens deserve to be equal under the law, and the issue of surrogacy being a leading issue in this year's event.
Fascinating indeed, and I'm sure Jerusalemites or many of them breathing a sigh of relief that it's still another year until this event takes place again. What else were the other big stories that happened in Israel this week?
Well, Howard, I have to say, if you're anything like me and you take your fowder very, very seriously, and we in Israel are very serious about fowder. I mean, you can't joke about this, Howard.
Right.
This is serious business.
Yes,
this is even more serious than food.
Right.
Well, I'm delighted to tell our fowder fans, I know there's many around the world, that Lior Raz, who plays Dawn Kabilio, the lead of the show, I don't want to give it away, in case, somebody else hasn't been watched Father for 9 hours at a time like I have. Lior is about to go global. He's, I think, about to be the next big, huge Israeli star, joining Gal Gadot and a number of others. And he will be, he's just been cast in a huge, big-budget Netflix film called Six Underground. And he's going to join big stars like Ryan Reynolds from Deadpool, Dave Franco, and others. It's going to be directed by Michael Bay, who's known for Armageddon and Pearl Harbor. You know, those very iconic shots, Howard. There's always a helicopter and always something exploding.
Absolutely. Otherwise, it's not interesting. Otherwise, the men are not going to watch it.
Exactly. Exactly.
Right.
So, it's very, very cool to see that Lior Raz will be joining this. But a little bit of controversy as well, because they start to shoot in Italy and the United Arab Emirates. Now, that's very interesting because, traditionally, if you hold a Israeli passport, you cannot enter the UAE. So I don't know, Howard, will we see like a Fowder-type operation to get him in?
Interesting. But Fowder has become an enormously successful show. They're on the second season, is that right?
Second season on Netflix. We're really, really hoping for a third. I'm not going to give away spoilers, but you know, when these shows end with these cliffhangers, we want to see more.
Right. Well, then generally, you know, there's going to be a following season. Unsigned says, remember that Sodom and Gomorrah were divinely destroyed because of the immoral situation. Full stop. There were homosexuals there. Alright, well, okay. That's alright. What are the other stories, Raline?
Another big story is, and this is really, really special, we've spoken a lot about the destruction in the South Bank, these incendiary devices that have been flown over the border from Gaza, kites, balloons, condoms. That could open up a whole other discussion. And unfortunately, kestrels, although that was stopped very, very quickly with the global outcry.
Right.
But thousands of acres of agricultural and national or natural land has been destroyed. And it's been very, very heartwarming to see firefighters coming in from a variety of states across the United States as part of a volunteer organization called the Emergency Volunteer Project.
Mm-hmm.
And this is an organization based in Jerusalem and in New York. And they train and deploy international fire and rescue personnel to Israel in times of crisis. So this week we've seen quite a number of volunteer firefighters who've taken a vacation from their jobs to come and help their Israeli brothers. And they say, you know, we as firefighters kind of think of ourselves as an international brother and sisterhood, and there has been so much going on in Israel that we really feel compelled to help. And 4 years ago, a lot of them came out to help Israel fight fires again in the south when there was Operation Protective Edge. Because of the missiles and projectiles fired into Israel, it set many fields on fire. But it's really, really heartwarming to see this incredible solidarity by these international firefighters who've come out to help us, because these blazes continue to burn. The Gazans continue to send over these incendiary devices, despite being warned by both Israel and Egypt and the United States.
And of course, Raleigh, sorry, just to interrupt you here, we also had the announcement this week that certain goods were going to be stopped from entering Gaza until these attacks have stopped. Has that made any impact yet, or is it too early to tell?
Well, it has made an impact. You know, the humanitarian crisis in Gaza is worsening, and you know, Israel has made a decision, even though they've reopened Kerem Shalom crossing to selected goods. They'll allow, or will allow, in humanitarian goods, food, medicine, etc., but no fuel and no gas is being allowed into the Gaza Strip. And you know, it's becoming a catch-22 situation. The more they send these incendiary devices across, the more we are going to issue restrictions. And
you
know,
the people that suffer most are going to be the residents of Gaza.
It's really saddening, because carts used to be toys that brought little children a tremendous amount of joy. Yep. And now, for Israeli children, they are certainly being seen as a device of terror.
Indeed. Rolene Marks, that's where we leave it. Thank you. As always, you have a great weekend, a peaceful weekend. Shabbat shalom, and we'll catch up with you next week.
Shabbat shalom. And hey, if you haven't yet, get your father on.